Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day is October 4th, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right back now before it's too late. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, 4620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, and I tell you, on the cell phone, I have been getting so many advertisement calls. It's driving me crazy. Don't ever do what? A survey online? Is that what you told me?
Yeah, that's what it is, a survey, and you either give them your information, or sweepstakes, or, you know, Publishers Clearinghouse, any of those kind of things.
That's your information. Got me. Yeah. Publishers Clearinghouse. Anyway, if you're going to call me on my cell phone, a lot of times if you just send me a text first and let me know it's you, I'll call you right back, because I find myself some days just getting so frustrated because 4 out of 5 calls are advertisements, so I just give up answering the phone. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. We are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube and some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. And we'll just decline that call that just came into me. Supporting airtime. Okay, on another note, let's thank our listener bases. In where?
Wahada, Saudi Arabia.
Riyadh.
Well, I tried. Auckland, New Zealand.
Juarez. Just say Juarez. Mexico. That's Mexico.
Is that a Chihuahua?
Yeah, it is. That is Chihuahua.
Chihuahua, Mexico.
Yeah, it's Chihuahua, yeah. Mexico. It's Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico.
Right. Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. And the good old cities of the USA, Arlington, Texas, Columbus, Ohio, New Orleans, Louisiana, Newark, New Jersey.
Well,
Kansas.
Well, wait a minute. Now, you sound like you're a pretty good American. I guess you can talk American, but you can't talk other countries, I guess.
No.
So you're like me. Anyway,
I'm proud to be an American.
Okay, now moving right along, we're not here to sing to them. And yes, Wichita, Kansas is the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. Right now, you know, we're on live radio. There is no way to tell on live radio, on satellite, how many people are listening to us. Mm-hmm. And it's on an FM station. There's no way to tell that unless they just all write in and say, hey, I'm listening. But when you go to a podcast, my podcast thing gives me stats and what cities people are in and so forth. So that's why we say it like that. Now, follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I just pray you guide this program, guide us in what we say. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, help us bring the truth out. Yes, Father Yahweh, in Yeshua's name, bless this program tonight. Well, you know, the way the left is right now, you know, left, that's basically, it used to be just part of the Democrats, but now it's just craziness. And we've been seeing that on TV, but in this country, Mother, now, if you're accused of a crime, what has always been the standard. You're guilty until proven innocent, or innocent until proven guilty.
Well, it used to be innocent until proven guilty, but now it's guilty until proven innocent.
Well, and that's what we're seeing. You know, technically it is still you're innocent until proven guilty. But what we're seeing out of the left, the far left, is that you are guilty, that you have no presumption of innocence. These people that have went crazy over the Kavanaugh thing, and which, you know, we're going to try and get into all the aspects of this today, but the Kavanaugh court case, or court justice, the reason they're screaming so loud against him is because right now there's 4-4 on the Supreme Court, 4 liberals, 4 conservatives, basically. And his, by putting him on, which will be, that'll be 5-4, which means that they're afraid that Roe versus Wade, which is the landmark case that made abortion legal in the United States, that it would be overturned. Okay, and so that's why they don't care. They said they would do anything at all to change it. Now, this playbook, they have, believe it or not, they actually have a playbook for this. They have what is called Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Hillary Clinton did a paper on this when she was in college. And so right now, we're going to read, I'm going to have you read these 8 rules about rules for radicals, what these rules are. Okay, now these are the things that they said that you could do to change the government, to get control. These are the things you use. And if, and folks out there, listen carefully. Think about, are these people going by these? But before I show you that, I want to show you something. You know, we hear all about how poor and innocent this, you know, accuser is of, you know, Judge Kavanaugh. Oh, poor little lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everything. And that she's, you know, had a hard life and everything. Well, you know, that's beyond the scope. You look at her background, you find out that her dad is CIA and they've got all kinds of connections, and it's just a put up deal. But to show you how innocent she is, I want to get your reaction when you see this actual picture of her recently, and tell me how innocent you believe that she is. See this now. This is Christy Baisley, daughter of CIA paymaster. That's what it says. Her dad was a CIA paymaster. And so this is Christina Ford, and she marches what? Naked at a woman's march. This is her. What do you
think? Oh, my goodness.
That? This is the woman that we're supposed to believe assaulted this woman, or tried to attempt to assault this woman, Judge Kavanaugh. What do you think about that picture? Describe to the people what you're seeing.
She looks like she's insane.
Well, what are you seeing? What is the picture of?
I see a naked woman that is yelling and with her arm in the air, and she looks like she's gone mad.
But she's among a bunch of other naked women also, right?
Right.
Right. And this is, now, how is it if you're protesting feminine things, you know, and protesting against men assaulting you, then where's the logic in showing up to a protest naked?
Where's the logic in doing a protest naked in, period?
Right, and that's what I'm asking you. And tell the people, size, I get, folks, if you could see the expressions on her face, the disgust and everything, it would be great. But, you know, you don't have that. So I remind you, they can't see you through the microphone. You got to talk. It's crazy. That's what they have. And so anyway, here's some of the rules that they are following, believe it or not. And Obama really pushed this. Okay, you start where it says number one, we'll go down, and then we'll get to bottom. I'll bring it back up.
Okay, health care. Control health care, and you control the people.
Okay, stop. What did Obama bring in?
Health care. Obamacare.
He wanted the health care, national health care for everybody. One payer. That's what the Democrats push for, is one payer system. Okay. Go ahead.
2, poverty. Increase the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you are providing everything for them to live.
Okay. There was more people on food stamps with Obama than anybody else, and I know that they are needed to some extent, but they're giving them out like candy, phones, everything that you wanted, where they were trying to give you with Obama. That's why Obama wasn't interested in getting the work ethic. He does, when they're giving you everything, the logic is, then that's right. The logic is that you don't want to vote the person out of office if you're getting everything in your life's comfortable. Why would you vote them out of office? Well, but it's better to earn it for yourself. And now we are in historic unemployment rates right now. But Obama didn't attempt that, didn't even attempt that. In fact, wanted more jobs to go out of the country. Why? Because if the people are poor, then you can control them. And so this is straight from Rules for Radical. Number three.
Debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you are able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty.
Under Obama, we went more into debt than all the rest of past presidents combined.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Gun control. Remove the ability to defend themselves from the government. That way you are able to create a police state. Well, that ain't happened, but they're trying.
No, but under Obama, and if you listen to the leftists, every time any minor little thing happens about a gun, it's always the gun's fault. It doesn't matter if the person's mentally ill or nuts. And we notice that it isn't Republican shooters. All the shooters, these mass shootings that we're seeing, have all been leftists, people without God. Okay. So, education. Go ahead, six.
Welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income.
Okay, we already covered that, but they're trying to do that. That's why they want to give you – look, it goes back to that. They give enough free housing or enough free housing subsidies, and you're basically they're paying for your housing. Again, it goes back to the same thing. Why would you in any way, shape, or form want to vote them out of office if they're paying for your – let's see, okay, they got you on health care, and then they got you free rent or practically free rent. They're paying for all your food and so on and so forth before you got the life of Riley. And then they want free college we'll go into that later. Okay, education, number six.
Education, take control of what people read and listen to. Take control of what children learn in school.
Okay, that's what they did under Obama, and right now, well, there's even a couple of court cases where California doesn't want to lose it, but they tried to put Islam in the schools and teach it teach the tenets of Islam so people would convert because it's anti-Christian, and that was actually going through the schools. But President Trump stopped it when he came in office, but then there had to be a legal court case, which went to what court? It went to the Supreme Court. And that was before Roberts retired, leaving that vacancy on the screen. So it was 5-4. They were able to keep Islam out of the schools. That's what we're doing now. And we're still waiting for it because I started to say country. So California is like a country, even though I was born there. California still trying to push Islam into schools, and there's still more court cases over it. And so that's why it's important for us to have more conservatives on the court. Okay, but that is what's wrong with the snowflake generation. See, they don't know what they've been being taught in school. They're not being taught history. They're trying to counter history by tearing down statues and all that and saying, trying to change history. Democrats themselves are, like somebody put a thing on a picture of President Lincoln today, and I copied it. It's at the bottom. I'll show you later. But it shows President Lincoln saying, I can't remember when the Democrats were so mad, except, oh, yeah, when I took their slaves away. Democrats were pro-slavery. It was Republicans that caused slavery to be outlawed in the United States of America. In fact, the Ku Klux Klan was started by Democrats, which is these Democrats, they're not even really Democrats. It's just communists. You folks out there that are Democrats, why don't you just start calling it what it is? It's communism. And all of you are pro-communists. In fact, you have some pro-communist people running for office this year. Okay, go
Religion.
On.
Remove the belief in God from the government and the schools. Done.
Well, Not completely, but...
Not now, because President Trump's in there, so...
Right, but it was being done, and technically, by twisting something that's not even in the Constitution about separation of church and state, and we'll have to do a program about that sometime so I can show you all the facts. But the point is they got prayer out of the school, they got the Ten Commandments out of the school, they took those things out of the school, and then they worked on the church. How they worked on the church by using by the Johnson Amendment, which turned churches into nonprofits, but they turned them into charitable organizations. That's how they're listed. If you look up church for IRS, it takes you to charitable organizations, which are 501(c), and any corporation is ran by the government. It's owned by the government. You have to go by government rules. One of the things was no political speech. So therefore, by the churches standing up for things like no abortion and so on and so forth, they had to shut up, and they did. And that's where we got where we're at now with gay marriage and all the evil things are here. And it goes back to the education of the children, you know. So in the schools, we didn't have no control. So what? The schools have been teaching things that are anti-Christian. And Islam is anti-Christian. Okay, let's move on. Eight.
Class warfare. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. This will cause more contention, and it will be easier to take the wealthy with the support of the poor.
Okay, divide the people. That now look at that. Now, what is the biggest thing that these leftists are out there doing? They're trying to get women to go against all the men. In fact, they're out there advising them. If your husband believes in Kavanaugh, divorce him. You know?
Really?
Yeah, that's one of their biggest things, you know. And they're turning everything upside down. They're trying to get blacks to believe that we're racist, and we're not. That really was a dead thing. The biggest people that are racist are the people that have fueled the blacks into racism. Like right now, that one of the biggest catchphrases, listen to them on TV or any of the other places, you hear them talk all the time out of their voices is, oh, the country's run by old white men, and you got white privilege and so on and so forth. Well, you know what? White privilege, they try to make it think that you got it better off in this world if you're born white. Well, no. Go down there and look at the mission church. We have more white people in there at the mission church than we do black people.
Or Hispanic either.
Or Hispanic. Any other race.
Majority is white.
Majority is white. Point being is, just because you're born white, but that's racist to say that. That is ultimate. So they're separating the people. They're trying to get the youth to go against the old people. They're trying to get blacks against white, Hispanics against white, and others. And what's that say? It says divide the people and divide the poor against the wealthy. Then that's what you hear them telling them, oh, these 1%. These Democrats that have millions of dollars and are rich themselves are waging warfare against the rich, the 1%, but they're rich also because they want it, and everybody's bad except for them. So that is being done. Now, this is happening in the United States. So these are eight, this is what's happening in the United States. They call these people useful idiots, is what they say. And Hillary herself has been interviewed and used the same wording. So this is what's going on. And this is communism. You know, this is communism. This is done to bring down America. And this is a book called Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. And Obama pushed it. Hillary wrote a paper on it in college, and that's what they go by. Truth has left the building. Truth has left the building. And so this is what these people are doing. Let me see. I've got something here. Anyway, so as far as Brett Kavanaugh goes, yes, we need him on it, and it looks like that he may be done. Folks, you really – let me express this, that – while we're seeing better changes with Trump in being president, that only works if we have a Congress that is Republican. If these guys get control of Congress in the fall, next, not fall, I mean, that's November, that's next month, in 30-some days. if we do not vote to keep, I don't care if you like your Republican representative in office or not, if a choice between Democrat and Republic or Democrat, Republican, Independent, you need to vote Republican no matter what, because we have to keep the majority in the Senate and in the House, because otherwise it will stop the forward growth what we have. And the second thing it do, it'll be a pathway to reverse everything that Donald Trump has did being in office. So every vote counts. You need to get out of, you know, even some of you folks that don't believe in voting, you need to believe in voting for this election. You need to get out there and vote. This really, 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 really needs to be done. That's how critical that we're in a critical place. This race is every bit as important as the race was against Hillary Clinton, because these people are fired up and they've got all these illegals in to vote, and that's what's coming to. Anyway, folks, just real briefly, we're just back after being gone for 2 weeks. We was gone the first week. I had a small little thing done to me. Well, I'll just say it. I had a little hernia operation, and so I was recovering. And so I wasn't around to tell you folks we wouldn't be here last week for the Feast of Tabernacles. And yeah, I'm all right and healed up. But anyway, right now we're gonna leave them
for 3 minutes.
For 3 minutes. Yeah. Well, you're a wrap, man. You just tell them everything. All right, folks. You be blessed, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And no, folks, we're not going to talk about the Wichita Mission Church right now. We're going to get right back in to talking about things. Well, everything matters, but we're getting ready to talk about some other things. Anyway, right now, folks, I want you to read this Isaiah 5:20 letter.
Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
Okay, now, folks, that's a scripture out of Isaiah that points to what would be like in the time of the end. That's what we're seeing right now. When they're standing up and screaming, saying you're guilty until proven innocent, really? I mean, somebody can just make an accusation. And that's horrific. That's scary for all my children. I want to keep my boys. It's spooky, because if a woman, or reverse it, if a man or woman could accuse somebody else of something without no evidence to back it up, like Kavanaugh, you could completely ruin their life. Maybe even put, and in this age, even put them in jail.
Yeah. For nothing.
Just because. And children, imitate what they see on TV, correct or not
right,
correct?
Yes.
Okay, and so they see all these people being radical and yelling and all this thing and doing these things on TV, so they will use it themselves. There's a case in point that I want to prove my point right here. Okay, now you have to speak up so they can hear you.
In the scene from Me Too Meets the Crucible, four females and students have accused an eighth-grade boy of sexual assault after he refused to apologize for going against political correctness. It started off as an ordinary day for eighth-grader Keith Bailey until he was summoned by the administrators into the vice principal's office at the Colorado Springs, Colorado Middle School. He was confused and shaken. Keith had never been in trouble at school before, served for one minor, incident months ago when he made an inappropriate remark that a fellow student looked like a school shooter. This time it was much more serious. For over 2 hours on Wednesday afternoon, alone in her office, the vice principal grilled Keith, he said they kept asking him the same things over and over. They were just intimidating him and asking him the same thing in different ways, asking what he did to these girls and why he did it to them. Why did you do it? And what did you do? And when did you do it? Keith's father, Dennis Bailey, says they were vague the whole time. They never asked anything specific.
Stop. Okay. Now, see, we're going in here. Here's a kid called into the office and said, okay, you did something to these girls. This kid never did. This is an eighth grader. Okay, now let's move on.
So he's about 12 or 13 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, well, you'll get
only after the two-hour inquisition did the school phone Keith's parents to let them know he was being suspended.
Stop.
What?
Used to be, whenever something like that happened, they couldn't talk to the child.
Without the parents present.
When it's especially something like this. Go on.
But before they did that, they called the police. By the time Keith's father showed up at the school, his son was being cuffed and put into the back of a police car.
Come
on. A crowd of students stood by ongoing the scene. The Baileys asked that I not publish the name of the school or the arresting officer.
Okay. Now, well, first of all, I'll ask you, are you going to be able to read the rest of this? You want me to.
Woo.
But two, I hope you're ready because this isn't the worst of it. When you see why, it's going to be really bad. Okay. Go ahead.
According to Keith and his family, it all started a week ago when Keith and his friends were sitting around his house talking about an online animosity.
No, animosity.
Animosity.
Meaning, you know, being where they wouldn't know who you are or whatever.
Right. Keith decided to change his Snapchat avatar into a black Bitmoji character. One of his friends, a girl, immediately noticed and within minutes told him he needed to change it back. She said it was insensitive and racist for a white person to use a black character as an avatar. Keith, stubborn as any eighth grader, laughed it off and said he wasn't going to change it. The next day at school, the girl, according to Keith, then started telling everyone he was a racist. The harassment and accusations persisted for days.
Okay, first off, at that age, you know, most kids don't even realize what is racist. Let alone, if you look at it before all this stuff started happening in the last few years, If you watch young people, they'll play with black, white, green, purple. They don't even understand, you know, the divisions. And you look at the way the teenagers are, you'll see a group of teenagers hanging out, and they're black, white, green, purple, blacks going with whites, whites going with blacks, Hispanics, Chinese, and nobody cares until the left started separating people and telling them, all this garbage. Oh, everybody's a racist. And so they start using it like this, say, creating it out of nothing. Now, this is the results of it. And if it happened once, it's happening all over. Let's go on.
Other students began threatening to beat up Keith, saying they were going to jump him after school for being racist. Then the girl and three other female classmates took it to the next level, appearing to take a page from the Feinstein handbook and on how to destroy your political enemies. They appeared before the vice principal to accuse Keith of sexual harassment and assault, stemming back to the summer.
Okay, this is the kid.
Stemming back to the summer.
Yeah, look at this.
He only looks like he's really, about 12 years old.
Yeah, he doesn't look like anything sinister or anything.
Oh, man.
Just a little kid. Okay, let's go on with the story.
Keith and his best friends with two of the girls, Keith had been friends with two of the girls. They attended youth group together at their church. They hang out all the time. If he had been maliciously touching them since back in the summer, then they wouldn't be going out of their way to walk by our house to go to school together. They go to the youth group together, they carpool together. To any reasonable person, I think that these allegations would be obviously ridiculous, but apparently they aren't any responsible people anymore, Dennis says. Keith is an A-B student, plays football, takes advanced math classes as well, liked by his teachers and loves attending church. One of the girls, according to Keith's identities as a feminist. He's pretty scared. I was scared. He was crying when they arrested him. We've never been close to anything like this. We don't know anybody criminal. It's not something we ever thought we'd have to deal with. Dennis, 32, who works as a plumber, says,
That's Dennis is his dad, people know. Okay, go ahead.
I think the whole political climate is what is motivating this. Anytime you disagree with somebody, now you accuse them of sexual assault, and automatically they're a victim, and you're a monster.
Okay, stop. That's what they did with Judge Kavanaugh. Absolutely. And this is all over the place, especially like with the so-called Me Too movement.
I'm listening.
The Me Too movement that came out of Hollywood, all these actresses saying that, you know, they were forced into sex to do a movie or blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I grant that some of them probably were sexually molested, but none of them came out and talked about it.
Right.
They waited years and years to do it. So they, by being closed mouth, they did it over and over. It was an acceptable thing for them to do that to get it. That's what they did. It was called the casting couch. That's what they did to advance themselves in Hollywood. And so that, you know, a large percentage of them. But the point is they're doing it saying, okay, that's like some girl just randomly out of my childhood says, oh, I know Pastor Dan. Man, he did this to me, you know, umpteen years ago, and we were at a party. Okay, well, where was the party at? Well, I don't remember. Well, who was he there with? Well, I don't remember that either. Well, that's what they did to Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
And then they almost stopped him. We don't even know until the vote happens if he's going to make it to Supreme Court justice. But the reason for all this is they're worried about losing. Listen, hear me out. It is to stop what they fear of abortion. The people don't know it. You know it, see, dear, but the people don't know it, so I have to voice it. Okay, let's move on with the rest of this.
Okay. After the arrest, Dennis stayed back at the school while his son was taken to the police station to be fingerprinted and his mugshot taken. But neither school administrators nor the police would tell Keith or his parents the exact nature of the allegations. He was charged with unlawful sexual conduct and harassment, which comes with a minimum sentence of 2 years in juvenile.
No, maximum sentence.
Maximum sentence of 2 years in a juvenile detention center, and the family must wait until a court date on October 27th to learn what exactly the girls claim Keith did to them. But a clue emerged the night before when one of the girls' parents phoned the Baileys. Her mother gave us a call and said she just found out that Keith had been inappropriately touching her daughter, and she was just wanting to let us know. She said, I know Keith is a good kid. Maybe he just went down the wrong path. She obviously believed her daughter, but she said it happened at the football game last week. The problem with that is my wife was at the football game the whole time. My son was there with his girlfriend, and my wife didn't want him unattended, so she had eyes on him the whole time. Whoa.
Okay. Just barely paused between sentences. Anyway, so where this happened, Mom was there. She didn't leave her eyes on it. So listen to what the woman said. What else? Go on with it.
My wife tells the girl's mother, that's funny. I was there watching the whole time. He didn't leave my sight, and he was nowhere near your daughter. Dennis recalls he was hanging out with his girlfriend. He wasn't running around molesting other girls. The mother then changed the story, saying it must have been a bit different football game. The Baileys have met with a lawyer and started a legal defense fund for their son. After Keith's 5th-day school suspension is up, the school has the option to extend it another 5 days or to expel Keith entirely. Wow. But after the humiliation Keith suffered, his parents are already looking into enrolling him into a new school. The other students, they say, already assume he is guilty after watching him put in the back of the police car.
Stop. And that's what usually most people assume. If a police officer questions you, well, you must be guilty.
Right.
You know, and that's even when juries are even bad about that. Just because they think, well, the guy's on trial, he must be guilty. And so, but now look, but look at what I'm telling you. This child, an innocent child, you know, probably hasn't even, you know, I mean, at 12 years old, okay, whatever. But the point is, a child like this have his life ruined, and, you know, this isn't over
because
with
they're
yet.
Following adult examples.
Adult examples. And so this is why it's critical that we can't let the leftists take back power. You got to get out and vote. You know what is really ridiculous? And I'm going to use Wichita as an example. Now, this is about probably 8 years ago, the last time I looked at the stats, but it's still relevant right now. There's over at that time, there was close to 400,000 people in Wichita, Kansas. At any given time, that there's a vote for even the major election, only roughly about 35,000 votes. Now, you think about that. 35,000 people are controlling 400,000 people. Now, let's go like this. Let's put it at the back at the door of the church, because the church has so been disconnected, they don't get up there and start, they don't, they're afraid that's being politically correct. They don't get up there and say, you need to go vote, you need to do it. They don't emphasize it. So the biggest lack in voters is the evangelicals. That's the Christians. They're not voting. That's absolute, if even half or a third of the evangelical so-called Christians voted, we wouldn't have any of these problems.
Right.
But they're not even voting. They don't feel love Jesus. They, oh, leave it up to Jesus. Well, Yeshua, Jesus, he doesn't want you. You're not supposed to allow things to run over you. You are responsible.
You follow the laws of the
that's
man.
How, right. And that, yeah. But that's what the Father does. He uses people to gain his goal. He uses people. Like now, we need money for the ministry. He doesn't put a pile of gold outside my door. But he might put it on somebody's heart to give me that pile of gold. You
right.
see the difference?
Yeah.
So he still uses people. When the Father punished Israel, he used other nations. When he rewarded other Israel, he got it from the other nations. The Father doesn't manifest out of nothing, rarely, to achieve his goals. He uses people. So don't use Christianity as an excuse not to vote. That's ridiculous. Anyway, let's get the rest of the story so we got other things.
It blew
about.
My mind. My son is not even mature enough to have done anything like that maliciously. I don't think it's in his realm of mental capacity at this point in his life. That they are demonizing him as some sort of malicious predator blows my mind. I don't even think his mind is capable of being predatory, Dennis says. The crucible-like scenario has the Baileys reeling. We are all on edge. I'm furious personally. I'm furious at these kids, at their parents for allowing them to do something like this. I'm furious at the school for not even seeming like they are giving him a chance to defend himself. And the way they tried to intimidate him, it seems really shady how they wouldn't call us until 2 hours after they started interrogating him, Dennis said.
Listen to that. They intimidating, they call him guilty. If you watch the Kavanaugh thing, if you would have watched it, it was just terrible. It was terrible what they tried to do to that man and are still trying to do to this man. And, you know, now even trying to change his narrative. After they pushed him so far and his family was threatened, they try to push the narrative to now say that they're trying to take it up because they haven't been able to prove the FBI report and all of it came in and said, you know, no evidence, you know, no evidence, no evidence. And so now they're trying to say because he got mad and defended himself that that's not the way justice should be, so therefore they shouldn't do it. The reason that they're doing it, they do not want to, they're afraid that abortion will get overturned. And the word says, and look at this, you know, the Father, look, it says, Psalms 127, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a blessing. There's the scripture for it. And he even says, look what he says here. He says, for thou art possessed in my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. That's Psalm 139:13-16. That tells us that he knew, if he knew you in the womb, you had to be alive, right?
Right.
So they're murdering the these children, and it's just horrendous. In fact, if we really went through on with it, we don't have time to go into that because I want to go on to, we have to go to the mission church, but there is so much going on. They don't want to lose it. It's important for this election. It's important for Christians to start getting involved. Speak up. Yeshua ran the money changers out of the church. We need to run. This is what we need to do. We need to stand up. He ran them out of the church. We need to run them out also, because otherwise you're not going to have a church. You're going to be prosecuted into nothingness. You better wake up, America. This is Bible prophecy happening in front of your nose. So anyway, glad to be back after the Feast of Tabernacles, where we didn't go anywhere. We had a lot of fun with the grandkids. Tell them about the sukkah and the grandkids. We got about 5 minutes to talk about the church.
Yeah, we had fun decorating this year. We went to and got flowers and limbs and stuff together, and then they all made posters on neon poster boards that they hung out there. And then we had dinner every night in the sukkah, except for two nights.
Okay, folks, the sukkah is a temporary building. Basically, it's like a framework where you put leaves and stuff over the top, natural branches, and you decorate it however. So the kids and mom decorated it, and then they put the poster boards up.
And this year we built it facing the fire pit, so we had a nice warm fire. We only needed it one night, though. It was nice every night this year. So
yeah.
It was cold one night, and it was rainy one night.
Well, and we really enjoyed that. What was really fun is, now, we didn't tell them to do it. What did the kids do that last night we was under there having our dinner?
Oh, they performed skits for us.
Tell them about it.
Yeah, they sang songs and danced and performed skits, and that went on for a couple hours anyway.
Right, and that was the children doing it on their own. And the oldest one is how old?
11, 9, 8, 6, and 4.
So,
then the two-year-old, but she just kind of got up there. But she was up there, too.
Oh,
she's
yeah,
only that, one. She'll be two in March.
Yeah, yeah. And Harley was really cool. And yeah. She's the one just over
she's
her.
She's the six-year-old.
Yeah, the six-year-old. And she's
and the four-year-old.
They'd say something, and she'd say, "That's me, Harley."
And
you
that's
know.
The disco.
Yeah,
D-I-S-C-O, disco. This is how you disco.
Was?
Hey, Harley, that's me. Yeah, Harley. Do me, show us how you disco. And then they all do their own little disco dance, and then they do the whole thing over with somebody else's name until they do all the kids, and it goes back down. That's actually a kids show on PBS Kids. They run that off of my house.
Well, amen. I didn't know where the guy. I just thought it was really cool. That was the first time I had seen it.
Yeah,
know?
We went out to the Springs and made one with them in the back of my truck. I posted on my Facebook page. Everybody really liked that one.
Okay, well, now then, I want to get to the Wichita Mission Church. So, folks, we do really need your help for the Wichita Mission Church. We're gearing up. I mean, we're already on a countdown to Thanksgiving, which is our biggest day of the year over at Wichita Mission Church. And while we love Sukkot and everything, but, you know, in fact, Thanksgiving's patterned after Sukkot. And so people are really looking forward to it. So pray about supporting us so that we can go into this comfortably. But let me say this. You know, I do believe that the Father guides our steps. And it was like this, the first day back, we'd talked about we were out of bread, and we really didn't, you were getting ready to pay bills, and we didn't have much money at all. And so the next morning I woke up, I was getting ready to go to the mission church, and there was no bread. We always start with egg sandwiches from 1 to 3 o'clock, and that day, though, we'd get eight dozen eggs for egg sandwiches, but they didn't have any bread. But the God guided my steps, and I thought, I said, okay, well, I got $10. I'll go get 10 loaves of bread from Walmart. So I go to Walmart, and I usually do check myself out, because especially my son Elijah, when he's with me, he always likes to check out himself or whatever. But it's faster usually. Anyway, I was always in a hurry. So I passed up the lines, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to check out myself. And so then right past the self-checkout is another self-checkout place that they created. And a woman comes up to me and says, oh, I'll help you do it and all that. And I said, no. Naturally, I should have let her help. We'd have been done in a minute. Well, So I kept going on down, and the lines were all full. And finally, I get to the last line, and there was more groceries on that counter than all the other lines. But I went ahead and went, and there's this older woman there checking out her groceries, and the woman that was waiting on her was also an older woman, and they were having a good time talking back and forth. And, oh, well, you know, so I got in line. But, why I picked that line, it wasn't for any Expedia or anything else. So I got in line, and one woman that was being checked out looked over and noticed that had all that bread, and they said, well, what's all that bread for? And I explained to them, egg sandwiches, mission church, and it really impressed her. She said, oh, that's really a wonderful thing to do. And I said, no, I'm just trying to serve the Father. You serve the Father by serving others. That's what you do. You serve people anyway. So she decided that she was going to pay for the bread. So, okay, I got that. You think, well, it's $10. Well, $10 means a lot to our ministry. A lot of times you folks just don't realize. But point is so she paid for the bread. And then she took my phone number because her husband had just passed away and she wants to donate clothes. But then the checkout lady wanted the phone number also so she could make donations. But you see what I mean? The Father guided my steps. Now, while maybe it's $10 and some clothes, the bigger thing that it meant to me is that I've been praying. Give me a sign today that I know that you're listening to me, that I know you're there. And he gave me that sign. The sign came in the form of two women. You understand? So I really believe that the Father is with us, and we are doing what he wants us to do. excuse me. All donations, that shows you, all donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to radio. Make a donation for radio airtime. Now, while I'm caught up for the past month, I need to pay radio airtime right now. So pray about supporting airtime. It's not free, and it's only your donations that keep us on the air. Just like it's only your donations that indeed keep the mission church open, and we've been open for now. We're in our 19th year. We'll start our 20th year in June. Now, you can donate online or over the phone, or you can mail a check or money order. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And if for some reason you want to get a hold of my wife, her phone number is 316-648-4963.
I very hardly ever hear my phone, but I will return voicemail, so.
Right, 316-648-4963. Or you can call me and leave a message at 620-878-4682. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. Now it's time to say goodbye, Mom. You've got half a minute. Say something to the folks.
Goodbye and have a blessed week.
Well, somebody that is never...
Okay, do I got enough time to say something about Thanksgiving? If you want to help with Thanksgiving, just give me a call. If you want to give me an email, it's sisterlinda8@outlook.com.
Now remember, you're talking to a lot of Wichita people.
That's okay. I need help. I got potatoes because I got a 200-pound donation of potatoes during Sukkot, and I have onions. I have carrots. I need turkey and vegetables and all the sweets.
I got it.
I don't know if we're gonna get pies this year, but
whatever you like for Thanksgiving, that's what the folks
like, right?
And we like. So yeah.
And it's easier if it comes prepared and ready to serve, but. If that's not possible, we can prepare it.
Okay. Are you done talking?
I suppose.
Okay. She'll be back. She won't be back next week.
No, next week I volunteer at the food bank in Marion, so.
Okay. I ain't got much time. Folks, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember what, Mother? Always be what?
A blessing to others.
How can you not be, if you're saved, how can you not be? Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and he's gracious to you, and he gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.